I'm thankful for holiday weekend, and sometimes this weekend we forget what the purpose is, and purpose, of course, is Memorial Day. Remember those that gave their lives in serving our country, and we are certainly thankful for those that did give their lives for our country. I appreciate all of those that served and fought for our freedoms, but I'm also thankful for those that have given their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to go to Acts chapter 8 and continue in our series in Acts chapter 8. And I really appreciate Brother Justin preaching for me last week, and we were at the cabin just unplugging, and we found out this year that we have 5G Verizon at the cabin. We've never had that. It's always been 3G on some other network, and it didn't work very good. And so it was a blessing. We watched the service, and I know that it's not the same as being in church. And sometimes people, would say, "Well, Pastor, you didn't go to church." I was unplugging, and I needed to unplug and just, sometimes when you're a preacher, you show up at a church even as a guest. This has happened to me many times. They ask me to preach, and so I've learned that when I want to get away, I get away. And so I enjoyed Brother Justin's message last week. It was a real, real blessing. And we're going to pick up where the story left off from last week in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. But before we read this, I want to just say I love this story that we're going to look at this morning. This is a story that's commonly known as Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And there are several reasons why I love this story. One is because that the gospel spreads to Africa in this story. And I love Africa. My heart's still in Africa. And I love my brothers and sisters in Christ who are in Africa. And I love them very much. And so I love this story because, remember, Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses unto me, beginning in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts." Well, we're going to see this morning how that this is being fulfilled. The gospel's going to literally to the uttermost parts. Did you know that the Greeks and the Romans considered Ethiopia the ends of the earth? And so we're going to see the gospel going to the ends of the earth today as it reaches this man, the Ethiopian eunuch. So I love it for that reason, but I also love it because every ingredient for bringing a soul to Jesus for salvation is found in this passage. Every ingredient. We see here there's a man who is lost and in need of a Savior. We see that there is a Christian who is obedient to the Holy Spirit. We see the Word of God, which is the seed. And then we also see the Holy Spirit who is orchestrating the whole thing. And those are the necessary ingredients for a person to come to Christ. And we're going to look at that this morning. But there's a third reason why I really love this story, and that's because it beautifully illustrates our theme. Acts, Jesus continued. Beautifully shows how Jesus continues his acts, his mission through this man, Philip. You know, up to this point, we've been mostly seeing how that the Holy Spirit is working through the church as a whole, working through the apostles. But now we're seeing how the Holy Spirit is going to be working through an individual, Philip. And so let's read this passage and we're going to pray. Beginning verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then said the Spirit unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so openeth not his mouth." He not his mouth. "In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, we want to thank you for the reading of your word today and this powerful testimony of your servant Philip. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes and teach us today what you want us to know and how we can be a better servant of Jesus. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, as we start this morning, I want to just share a quote that I read this last week. And it's a quote from Henry Blackaby. And he has written a book called Experiencing God. And this comes out of one of his devotionals. And I love what I read and what he said about, actually it's about this passage. And he says, "Missions is God finding those whose heart are..." Let me start over. "Missions is God finding those whose hearts are right with Him and placing them where they can make a difference for His kingdom." I want you to think about that. Missions is God finding those whose hearts are right with Him and placing them where they can make a difference for His kingdom. That's what's taking place here in this story. You know, Philip, we've learned about Philip that he's just a common guy. He's not an apostle. He's not really a pastor or anything like that. Now, later in the book of Acts, we're going to learn that Luke's going to give him the title evangelist. But that's going to come later. But all we know about Philip is that he's one of the seven that was chosen in Acts chapter 6. Remember, the widows were being neglected in the daily ministration, especially the Grecian widows. And so there were seven men that the church appointed and chose to oversee that business of making sure that the widows were cared for. And so Philip was one of those men. He's the second listed in that list. We've learned about Stephen and how that he was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. But do you remember the qualifications of these men? They had to be men with an honest report. They had to be men that were filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Philip was one of these men. He was just a common disciple, follower of Jesus, who was sold out. He was sold out. He was surrendered to the Lord. And the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about this. Philip humbly served these widows. His church appointed him. this church said, I want you to serve in this ministry and serve these widows. And he did it. Humbly, obediently, he did it. That was what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do, and he did it. He obeyed and served those widows. Now, what happened is that Stephen was killed. Remember, Stephen was stoned in chapter 7? And as a result of that, in the first part of Acts 8, there was great persecution against the church, and they were all scattered whenever we were preaching the word. So Philip was one of those that was scattered. They were scattered out of Jerusalem, and God was using this persecution to get the mission going forward. Because up to that point, they were just staying in Jerusalem. They were preaching the gospel there. But Jesus told them, I want you to also preach in Judea. I want you to preach in Samaria. I want you to preach in the uttermost parts of the earth. And so this persecution forced these disciples into all these areas. And last week, as Justin was preaching about it, that Philip, when the persecution came, he went down to Samaria. And you know, Samaria was a place that the Jews, they despised the Samaritans. They didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. They actually hated the Samaritans. But I want you to think about this. Philip was following the Holy Spirit. And he landed in Samaria. And he obeyed the call of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the Samaritans. And God blessed, and there were people, many people believed the message and were baptized there in Samaria. And then we come to our text that the angel of the Lord spake to Philip and saying, arise and go. I want you to get up and go. What we find here in our text is that Philip, he is obeying the Spirit's calling once again. You know, as I said, this story is commonly called the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. But I want to just say that it's really the story of the Holy Spirit and Philip. That's what this story is all about. It's about the Holy Spirit and Philip. How God takes this man who is yielded to the Holy Spirit, this man that is walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and uses him. That's what this story is all about. Did you know that none of this story would have happened had Philip not been obedient to the Holy Spirit? Because you know, later it says here in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself. Had Philip not been walking in the Spirit where he could listen and hear the Spirit's voice and being obedient to the Spirit, you know, whenever this call came, arise and go, let me just ask you to put yourself in Philip's shoes. He's in Samaria, and God is blessing. There are many people coming to Christ. Great miracles taking place. God is using this man in a great way. That he hears this voice saying, Philip, I want you to go in the desert. Now, if he was in Samaria, I can't remember how many miles it was from Samaria to Jerusalem, but he would have had to travel to Jerusalem because it says here, I want you to go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. From Jerusalem to Gaza, I believe it's around 50 or 60 miles. Now, this is in the day when they walked. That was their mode of transportation. How long would it take you to walk 50, 60 miles? It'd take you a while, wouldn't it? I mean, on average, we're looking at least 12 plus hours at least. I mean, probably taking more than a day to get there. I'm trying to get you to feel the tension of leaving a ministry where God's blessing to go to some unknown place that's desolate, a desert, to leave a city that's full of people that need the gospel, and to go to a desert, to get on this road going to Gaza. You know, Gaza is part of the Philistines' territory in the Old Testament. It's part of that territory. And so it's not even part of Israel. So you want me to go there? Now, we don't read Philip asking any of those questions. We don't read Philip questioning. But I'm just saying, if you were in his shoes, what would you have done? Would you have been in tune with the Holy Spirit? And would you have been obedient? Say, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know why you're asking me to do this. It doesn't make sense, humanly speaking. But I'm going to go. And the reason why I point that out is because I have found in my life, in my ministry, that often when the Lord's leading me somewhere or to do something, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. It requires faith. As I said, this is the story of the Holy Spirit and Philip. And so I want to ask this question just as we get started in this story. What about the Holy Spirit and you? What about the Holy Spirit and you? Let's get into application. You know, it's easy for us to look at this story from the outside. Oh, that's a cool story. Philip's a great guy. I mean, he's a sold out follower of Christ. What about you? What about you? What about the Holy Spirit in you? Are you yielded to the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? I know for some people that sounds like, some people like, that's mystical. I don't even want nothing to do with that. Listen, Romans 8, if you read Romans 8, verses 9 and following, that if you're not led of the Holy Spirit, you're not born of God. You're not a child of God. It should be a normal thing for a Christian to hear the Spirit of God speak to us. And now, I want to just say this, because I know there's a lot of wild fire out there when it comes to things like that. Some people say, well, the Holy Spirit told me this, or God told me this. Well, listen, in this passage, we're going to learn there's some guidelines for that. That the Holy Spirit always works within the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus Christ. Always. That's why Jesus, when He taught about Spirit in John chapters 15 and 16, He said that the Spirit was going to come and He's going to glorify Me. And so if someone says that the Spirit told them to do something and they're not glorifying Jesus and it's not according to the Word of God, don't listen to them. But don't use that to close your ears to the Holy Spirit. I know there's been many times the Lord, and it's not like a voice or anything, but it's just like, you know, God speaking to you and says, I want you to go talk to this person. I'm sure most of you can relate to that. And when God does that, do you listen and do you obey? That's what this story is about. It's about Philip that he was listening. He was obeying. I mean, he had to do some hard things. He had to serve widows who were murmuring and grumbling about what's happening. But he did it. He was humble. He went and did it. And then when the persecution came, guess what? He went to Samaria, a place that it was an unlikable place. A place that was hated as Jews. But he did it, and the Spirit used him. And now the Spirit said, I want you to go to the desert. And notice what it says. He arose and went. Now, something I want to point out, that some people want to use the Holy Spirit like Simon did in the previous passage back in Samaria. Remember Simon wanted to buy that power to give the gift of the Holy Spirit? Brother Justin preached on that a little bit last week. Some people are like that. They want to use the Holy Spirit, but Philip, he understood that the Holy Spirit wanted to use him. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit wants to use you. If you're a child of God, if you're born again, if you're a follower of Christ, do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to use you? Philip is just, like I said, he's an ordinary, common follower of Christ. And Luke puts this in the Book of Acts, the Holy Spirit inspired it for us to realize that, hey, the Holy Spirit wants to use us. You know, Jesus, He had access to Philip. And this story gives the exciting account of how Jesus used Philip's life to continue His mission of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I wanted to say, Jesus continues today to seek those who are responsive as Philip to go on mission with Him. He's still seeking disciples who are responsive and listening and obedient to go on mission with Him. I want you to think about this, because I could just stop preaching right here with this and just say, will you be willing this week to go on mission with Jesus wherever He takes you? Wherever He takes you, wherever He leads you, whoever He tells you to meet, whoever He tells you to go talk to, will you be like Philip and arise and go? You know, I think the reason why God has not brought revival to more places, like Dumas, Texas, for example, is not that He's unable or that He's unwilling. He's looking for people who are walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Do you realize Jesus can't continue acting without us letting Him work in and through us? Do you realize if Philip said no, that this story wouldn't be in the Bible? That the gospel wouldn't have went to Ethiopia with this man? If Philip said, no, I'm not going down there. I'm just going to stay right here in Samaria. I like Samaria. Or I'm going to go somewhere else. G. Campbell Morgan, he was a preacher in England years past, and a great preacher. He said, if Christ is hindered, it is because some Philip is not willing to go. And so I want to ask, if Christ is hindered today, it's because some Philip is not willing to go. You know, God wants us to be that Philip this week. You know, we can sit and complain. I can complain. I'm speaking to myself. I'm preaching this to myself as well. We can complain. Well, we're not seeing people saved. Why? Is it because Jesus is not willing to save people? Is it because it's not God's will to save people? I don't think so. I think if there's any problem, it's not just my problem, it's your problem too. It's our problem that we have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit lead us and be obedient. Now, I'm not saying you have to wait till the Holy Spirit speaks before you can witness. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what this is teaching. But I'm just saying we need to walk in the Spirit and be obedient. Be willing, Lord, use me. Who do you want me to talk to today? And so I ask this question, are you hindering Christ? G. Campbell Morgan said, if Christ be hindered, it's because some Philip's not willing to go. Are you hindering Christ? You know, there are people that Christ wants you to talk to personally. There are people that Christ wants me to talk to personally. He doesn't want me to talk to everybody. But He has people lined out for me. And He has people lined out for you. There are people that you're going to meet this week that I'm not going to meet. There are people whom you have influence over that I don't have influence over. There are people that have watched your life and your testimony, but they don't know me. What I'm saying is that we need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Be, Lord, lead me. Guide me. Use me. So we see here that
Philip,
verse 26, he heard this angel of the Lord arise and go. Verse 27, he arose and went. He arose and went. Just like that. No questions asked. No excuses given. He arose and went. You know, I'm sure that many excuses could have been given. I'm sure that Philip could have reasoned, this has got to be the devil talking, not the Lord, because why would the Lord want me to leave where this revival is taking place, where people are getting saved, to go to some desert where there's not anybody? It had been easy for him to make all these things, but he was in tune with the Lord, and he knew the Lord speaking to him, and he obeyed. Now, let's look at this man that God sent him to in verse 27. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I want you to say Ethiopia, it's back in this day, it was much bigger than the country of Ethiopia today. It was basically all the Upper Nile. It included Sudan and some of those countries there in the northern part of Africa. So it was a big area. And it was known as the land of Cush. And of course, these are black people. And back in that day, they called them blackamoors. And they didn't have a good reputation. But you know what's interesting here is that Jesus loved them. Just like He loved the Samaritans. Just like He loved the Jews. And He sent someone to reach them. Jesus went to the cross to die for their sins. This is the land where the Queen of Sheba came from. You know, we hadn't got there yet, but I think on Tuesday in our Bible reading, you're going to be in chapter 10 of 1 Kings. And it tells the story about this Queen of Sheba. She comes from the south. She's coming from Ethiopia. Well, it's interesting. I want you to think about this with me. She came up because she heard the glory of Solomon. Now, if you're reading the Bible reading, you have read this last week about Solomon's prayer of dedication for the temple. Did you pay attention to what he prayed? Pretty interesting. He didn't just pray for the Jews. He prayed for the strangers as well, the foreigners. He prayed. He said, God, even if a stranger from another country, because they're going to hear about your glory, they're going to hear it. Even when they turn toward the temple and pray, God, hear them so that they might know that there is only one God and you are He. I mean, I'm just summarizing, paraphrasing, but that, you can go back and read that. And so Solomon, he had a world mission's heart. Solomon was praying, God, help us to reach the other nations. Help us to reach the strangers out there. Help us to be a testimony. And guess what happens later? That's what's happening. This Queen of Sheba from the south, she hears about this. She hears about His glory of His kingdom. And she comes up, and it says that when she comes, she was out of breath. She was in awe of Solomon's kingdom and seeing all of his servants and seeing the beauty of the temple of God and seeing his wealth and all these things. She was just amazed. And she said, I was not even told the half of this. And do you know what happened? The Queen of Solomon professed faith in the God of Israel. And answered to Solomon's prayer, just what he prayed a couple of chapters earlier, God answered it. Here's a woman that came, and she trusted the God of Israel. She confessed that He is the God. Pretty amazing. She goes back, and I don't know, I can't prove this, but I wonder that because of her Jewish faith in the God of Israel, that was passed down through the generations, that maybe this Ethiopian eunuch, maybe his ancestors was one of her servants. Because you know what? It says he was going down to Jerusalem to worship. Why? Why would he go to Jerusalem? Where did he get this Jewish faith, being an Ethiopian, living over 200 miles away, which is a long ways back in that day, where did he get that? How did he become a God-fearer? How did he become a proselyte to the Jewish faith? I think it started with the Queen of Sheba. And he goes up there, it says, for to worship. He's a eunuch. Meaning he can't have children. I mean, that's what they did in practicing days, the servants of the kings and queens. And he was in charge of all of her treasure, meaning that he was like the minister of finance. He was a pretty important person. He was a trusted person. Can you imagine in charge of all of her treasure? She was wealthy. He was in charge of it. He was a trustworthy man. He had a good testimony himself, but he didn't have Christ. He went up to Jerusalem to worship. And being a eunuch, I don't know if you're aware of it, in Deuteronomy 23:1, eunuchs could not enter into the temple. They could not enter. They were forbidden. They had to worship outside the gate. You know, we read in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. He couldn't. He had to do it from outside the gate. Isn't it amazing to think about this man, though he was a eunuch, though he was an Ethiopian, he could not become a full-fledged proselyte because of these things. He could not even come into the gates of the temple, but still he went there to worship. Pretty amazing to think about. What's interesting, though, in the story, in verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. You know, back in that day, they didn't have Lifeway and Mardell's, and they didn't have, you know, Bibles just everywhere where you can just buy a Bible. No. These Bibles were in scrolls at that time. And it was very expensive for someone to obtain a scroll. Now this man, he would have had the wealth to do that. But my point is this. This man had a desire to know God. He went out of his way, traveled 200 plus miles to go to Jerusalem to worship. Here's a man who had a desire to know God. He had a copy of scriptures, but he didn't know God. Or he didn't know Jesus. I want you to turn to Isaiah 56 for just a moment. It's interesting. This is another interesting fact that I found this past week. I thought, wow. He had a copy of the scroll of Isaiah. Now, this is not where he was reading. He was reading out of Isaiah 53, but I just want you to see something in Isaiah 56. Look in verse 3, what the Lord says. Neither let the son of the stranger, a stranger would be a foreigner, that's not a Jew, that had joined himself to the Lord, speak, saying, the Lord had utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch, now listen to this, neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus said the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. This is amazing because when you think about eunuchs, according to Deuteronomy 23:1, they could not even enter in to the temple, but God given them promise that down in the future, guess what? I love you, eunuchs. I'm going to give you a place in my house. And I'm going to... Notice he says, I'm going to give you a name better than of sons and daughters. Eunuchs couldn't have children. He said, I'm going to give you something better than that. I'm going to give you an everlasting name. I don't know if eunuchs read this or knew this, but it was in the book he had. But this day, that he met Philip, he's going to personally experience the fulfillment of that promise. Pretty amazing. He's going to experience that in a personal way. So I want to say it was no accident that Philip came along at the very time that this eunuch was reading out of Isaiah. This is all God's providence. God had it all orchestrated. God had it all planned. Said, Philip, I want you to go south of Jerusalem on that desert road to Gaza. Didn't tell him why. Didn't tell him anything other than that. And Philip went. He obeyed. No questions asked. And I want you to think about this. I mean, he left a great ministry. And here he is going down this desert road. And it says, verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near. Join thyself to this chariot. I mean, here he is out there in the desert road. There's this chariot. A great train, I can imagine, of these servants and coming. And the Spirit said, I want you to go join yourself. I want you to go over there. And I want you to think of the difficulty even of that decision, because if you owned a chariot that day, you were somebody very, 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 very important. You were way high up. Imagine how intimidating it could be for a man like Philip out there by himself. He could obviously see that these were not Jews, and that these were VIP from another country. You don't just run into the presence of people like that. I mean, this man, I no doubt he had armed men around him, I'm sure. But notice what it says in verse 30, and Philip ran. He was prompt, immediate in his obedience. There's a reason for this being in the Scripture. I want you to understand that. That when God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us and says He wants us to do something, are we prompt? Or are we making excuses? Or we're saying, well, Lord, later, I got something else going on right now. Or are we so far from God, we can't hear the Spirit? I shared in Sunday school, Panette class, that I read something a pastor said, that the reason that you may feel like you're far from God is because you haven't spent time with God. If you haven't been spending time with God, you're not going to hear from God, and you're not going to be close to God enough to hear Him speak. But here's a man that was close to God. He was close. He was walking with Jesus. And he heard the Spirit say, Philip, go. And join yourself. And he didn't hesitate. He ran. He ran. And you know, he didn't hear it until he obeyed. Because look at verse 30. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Can you imagine when he obeyed and he ran up next to that chariot? Can you imagine his surprise to hear the prophet Isaiah being read? Can you imagine the encouragement that could have been? Because just before, he was like probably scared to death, thinking, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this, but I don't know what you're up to, but this is crazy, running up next to this chariot. I'm likely to be shot down, or sword's going to come flying and take my head off. But he ran, and then he heard, and then he probably thought, oh God, you're working. You're preparing this man. Here he is reading the Scriptures. An Ethiopian. How did he get the Scriptures? He's reading Isaiah. I'm sure that Philip was like just amazed at this. Like, wow, Lord, this is amazing what you're doing. I'm glad, Lord, that I listened. I'm glad that I obeyed, and because you're doing something here. And so he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And this is a great witnessing tool that we can learn from Philip. One of the best tools for you in witnessing is ask people questions. Because questions open opportunity to share the gospel. They open up opportunity to share the gospel. It's amazing how it works. Instead of starting with trying to share the gospel with people and them putting a wall up, show interest in them. Ask them some questions. And Brother Justin and I, we've started back doing some door-to-door using a survey. And when we started it several years ago and did it, every single week, I'm not kidding, every single week we got to share the gospel with at least one person. And we only went for an hour. Well, I remember a few weeks ago, we went down Miss Kiva Street and we were going down, and sure enough, we got to share the gospel with two people. And the whole survey is all questions. We just ask people, hey, we're in the community, Bible Baptist, we're just trying to see how we can better minister to our community. Would you mind just answering five quick questions? It won't take you 3-5 minutes. Well, yeah, sure. Not everybody did, but the people that did, it was pretty simple. We'd ask them, you know, questions, you know, like, why do you, if you were to look for a church, the person, if you were to look for a church, what are some things you'd look for? And then we'd ask another question. Why do you think people don't go to church today? Why do you think people stay home and don't go to church? And then third question, do you have a church that you attend faithfully? If so, where? Fourth question, have you come to the place in your life that you know for sure if you were to die that you have eternal life? Yes or no? Or is that something you're working on? The last question we'd ask, if you were standing before God and He would ask you, why shall I let you into heaven, what would you say? Pretty amazing, because after you get to those questions, we would thank them for their time and say, you know what? Wouldn't it be great for you to know? Because maybe they said, no, I don't know. I don't know for sure. Wouldn't it be great to know? If you have a little bit more time, we'd be happy to share with you. And we get to do that, people. Listen, it started with questions. Just asking simple questions. Here, he's just asking questions. Do you understand what you're reading? I mean, he's reading it out loud. And I love the answer of the eunuch. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now, I want to share this truth with you, that lost people, they need saved people to guide them, to lead them to Jesus. Now, I know that God can save people with just, sometimes they might read a tract, or I know that happens, but that's a rare thing. Usually, someone is guiding them through the Scriptures to Jesus. I mean, how many of you came to Christ because someone guided you through the Scriptures? I know I was guided. I didn't come to Him on my own. How many of you, the first time you read the Bible, you understood it? Or did you need some help? Here's a man who's reading this. He don't understand. He's like, how can I except someone guide me? And it tells us where he's reading, Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 53 is a key prophetic passage of the suffering servant, which speaks of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who took our sins unto Himself and died for our sins. That is a tremendous passage about Jesus and His sacrificial death, His willing sacrifice for our sins. He is a lamb. He went to the slaughter. He was humble, submissive, and laid down His life willingly. That's what this passage is about. So that's where he's reading. So he said to Philip, he said, another question was, he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, himself or some other man? You know, the Jews argued over this. Some of them think it was the prophet was speaking of himself. Some thought, well, they're speaking of Israel as a nation. But then others, like, no, he's speaking of the Messiah. But they struggled with that because they couldn't understand how the Messiah could suffer like that. Because their view of the Messiah was a king that would come and reign and deliver them and rescue them. They couldn't understand the suffering of the Messiah. And so they struggled with this passage. But Philip, being a follower of Christ, knowing Jesus, he began at that scripture, it says, and preached to him Jesus. And I want to say to you, Christian, you can take any scripture in the Bible, Old, New Testament, and find a pathway to Jesus. Because the whole narrative of scripture is about Jesus. The whole narrative of the Bible is about a Redeemer coming to redeem us from our sins, and His name is Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are in the Bible. You can take that story or that verse or that truth and lead it to Jesus. Even the Ten Commandments. For example, how can you point people to Jesus with the Ten Commandments? Easy. Start asking questions. Have you broken one of these commandments? Well, yeah, for sure. I know I've lied. I know I've done this and done that. Well, why do you think God gave us those commandments? I don't know. We're supposed to keep them. But you didn't keep them, did you? Have you ever thought the thing that Scripture says that they're given to show our sin? They're given to show our need of Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus, by the way. You see, where we are in Scripture, you can take the word of Scripture, the story and point. That's what this Philip's doing. He's taking the Scripture and he preached Jesus. And I wish I could have been there to hear all that he shared. It doesn't tell us here. It just says he preached them Jesus. And it says that they went on their way. They came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Here's a man that was listening to the gospel, listening to the story of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his exaltation, his commands. And he's sitting here thinking, "I believe that. This is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's the Son of God. I believe it. I see it now. I understand it now." And so when they come to this water, he say, "Hey, here's water. I want to get baptized. What's keeping me from getting baptized?" And I want you to understand, baptism back then was different than now. Back then, it was a serious thing. I mean, it was something that said you are saying goodbye to all your former gods in your former life. It's a public testimony saying that I'm done with all these other false and fake gods I've been following all my life. Now I am pledging myself as a follower of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just something that they did as a formality. Baptism back then, it was their public commitment to follow Christ to death. We need to get back to that. When you get in those waters, listen, you should be saying, "I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." And so for him to do this, and all the people, his servants, and all the people that were with him in that train of going back to Ethiopia, they were witnesses of this. He went down to the water. It says both of them went down. I love the scripture. He didn't sprinkle him. He didn't pour a cup of water over his head, because it said they both went down and he went under. Baptism is a immersion. And it says when they come up out of the water. Now this is interesting. Verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he, the eunuch, went on his way, rejoicing. I can't explain this, but I believe that what took place is a miracle. I don't believe that this was just saying, well, the Lord led Philip to go somewhere else after this. No, the Lord literally lifted him up And next thing he knew, he was in Azotus. Do you know what this caught away is here? The Greek word harpazo. The same word in 1 Thessalonians 4 that talks about the rapture when Jesus is going to come and we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. Same word. Means to seize by force. The Spirit of God took Philip and just took him. And it says the eunuch, he saw him no more. It was a miraculous thing. I don't know why the Lord did it, but he did. You know, it's kind of like the story in John 6 when they were in the boat and they were out in that storm and Jesus came walking on the water. And finally, when he came into the ship, it said immediately they were at the shore. They were miles away from the shore. But when Jesus went in there, guess what? They were at the shore immediately. I mean, just like they were transported to the shore, just like that. There's several examples in the Bible of things like this happening. The next time it's going to happen, I believe, is when Jesus comes for us. We'll be caught away. I mean, there's going to be people around us. They're not going to see us no more. But we'll be caught away, just like that. That's why you need to be ready. That's why you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But we see here this man that he was rejoicing. I mean, I want you to understand that salvation, I'm going to close with this, that salvation is a heart matter. Because I want you to notice when he asks Philip about being baptized, Philip said in verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Because you know there are people that believe like the demons believe. They just believe with head knowledge. They just, oh yeah, I believe that there's a God. I believe that there's a Jesus. But the Bible says that if thou shalt believe with all thine heart. You know, Romans 10 tells us if you confess with your mouth and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And confession is made unto salvation. You have to believe with all your heart. Here's a eunuch. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He believed with his heart. He is ready to follow Jesus. And he got down in the waters and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I want to just say something that's interesting from history. I can't prove this. All I know is what history says. That there's a group of Christians in Egypt. They're known as the Coptic Christians. C-O-P-T-I-C. And they are being persecuted today. I mean, Egypt is a Muslim country. But these Coptic Christians that are in Egypt and in that area, they believe and claim and trace their roots back to this man. It's interesting to think about that this man went back to Ethiopia and preached the gospel. I mean, it's amazing. You go to Ethiopia today, you'll see there's people there that trace their roots back to this man. Isn't it amazing how God took this Philip, a man, just a common, ordinary follower of Christ, who is extraordinary in listening and obeying the Lord. And God used him in extraordinary ways to expand his mission. Jesus was able to expand his mission to the uttermost parts, to Ethiopia, which was the end of the earth in that day. So salvation is a hard experience. It's also a happy experience, as we see here. Don't you love that song, "Oh Happy Day"? When Jesus washed my sin away, he taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. That was this man. A eunuch who couldn't even go into the temple. He couldn't even go into the gates. He left empty. He left hungry. And now he was satisfied. Now he found Christ. Now he could go into the very presence of God with thanksgiving. Now he could enter into his gates with praise, because Jesus washed his sins away. But Philip, it says, was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. This is Gentile areas. Philip kept on continuing. Isn't that neat? He didn't stop. He continued following Christ. He continued going. Jesus continued working through this man. So I'm going to ask again as we come to a conclusion, are you hindering Christ? Am I hindering Christ? Christ wants His mission to go forward, making disciples. Christ wants people saved. But are we hindering Him by not listening, by not drawing near to Christ? You know, Philip, we see in this story that the Scripture is vital in bringing people to Christ. Are you purposely spending time every day in the Scriptures and in prayer? You know, I read something last week that it said your time in the Bible, your study of the Bible, is evangelism training. It's evangelism training. I like that. You need to know the Scriptures. I mean, people are going to ask questions. What's this speaking about? You study, show yourself approved, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you doing that? Are you studying the Scripture? Are you spending time with Jesus? Are you walking with Him? Are you praying for lost people? Are you intentional looking out there at people? Lord, would you want me to talk to this person? Would you want me to go over here? Are you a Philip? That's what Christ is looking for today. I want you to stand with me and we're going to pray. Father, as we come to you today, we're so grateful. For the example of Philip, what a tremendous testimony of this man. A man who loved Jesus. A man whose life was changed by Jesus. A man who had an ear to hear what the Spirit said. I think about Jesus saying, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Are we hearing today the voice of the Spirit? Are we obedient to the voice of the Spirit? Are we far from you, O God? There may be people here that have trusted Christ that are far from you, Lord. They need to come home. They need to come and get right with you. They need to draw near to you. Lord, I'm thankful for your promise that if we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. That if we confess our sins, you'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for that, Lord, that when we fail, when we fall from you, Lord, you are faithful to forgive us and hold us up. Lord, I pray for your people that are gathered here today. God, you'd help us to have a relationship and a walk with you that we can hear you. And that we'd have an obedient heart, a heart that desires to please you, a heart that desires to follow you wherever you lead. There are people hurting around us. There are people that are lost. There are people that need to be guided through the Scriptures to Jesus. And it's not going to happen until we as your people yield ourselves to you. It's not just going to magically happen to people. It's just going to show up here at our church and get saved. We have to go. We have to follow. Wherever you lead, God help us. Lord, there may be someone here like the Ethiopian that's searching for the truth, that needs Christ. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They would come to confess faith in Him today. They'd believe on Him with all their heart today for salvation. God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.